that all sins will be forgiven except associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these mushrikeen, these pagans, they are invoking nothing but females. They consider females as deities, Lat, Uzza, and Manat. And in reality, they think that they are obeying or they are being guided by these false deities. But in reality, they are invoking Shaytan, the rebellious. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that La'anahullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed Shaytan. Shaytan has been cursed. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses someone, then that curse means that he is distant from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person has become distant, that entity has become distant from the rahmat and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no hope for that person's or that entity's forgiveness. Shaytan, after understanding that he has been cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ نَصِيبًا مَفْرُوضًا, that I will certainly take from your slaves a set share. I am going to Jahannam, that is for certain. But at the same time, I will take others with me, and I will drag them to the depths with me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Shaytan distant from his rahmah. So Shaytan, he swore and he said, لَأَتَّخِذَنَّ مِنْ عِبَادِكَ الَّذِينَ عَبَدْتَنِي مِنْ أَجْلِهِمْ نَصِيبًا أَيْ حَزًّا مُقَدَّرًا مَعْلُومًا أَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِي مِنَ الْكَفَرَةِ وَالْعُسَاتِ. وفي صحيح مسلم يقول الله تعالى لآدم يوم القيامة ابعث بعث النار فيقول وما بعث النار فيقول من كل ألف تسعمائة وتسعة وتسعون. So Shaytan, in the commentary of this ayah, the scholars, they mention that Shaytan, he said that I will certainly take from your slaves a set portion due to you making me distant from the rahmat, from your rahmat, and cursing me on behalf, because of this creation that you have created. You have created human beings, and as a result of me disobeying you and doing sajda to them, so I will certainly take them with me towards the hellfire. And many people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following ayah says, وَلَا أُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَا أُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ, that I will certainly lead them astray. I will lead them astray and I will tempt them with false hopes. And this is what Shaytan does. Shaytan, he leads people on, he leads them astray. He leads them towards which is incorrect, which is wrong. And Shaytan tempts mankind with false hopes, and he puts in their hearts that I will be living for a long time and there is no ba'ath. There is no life after death, and there is no judgment. So this world is basically a place where we can just live our lives without any morals, without any qualms of doing anything, without any conscience. This is what Shaytan wants, and this is what Shaytan is saying. وَلِيُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلِيُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ, that I will lead them astray, and I will tempt them with false hopes. So this is exactly what false hopes means, that people think that we will live forever. We have the best medical facilities in the world. We have all the money in the world. We have all the power in the world. And we think that we will live forever. And Shaytan puts in the people's heart that there is no hisab. There is no day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to hold you accountable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to hold you accountable. Do what you want. There is no resurrection. There is no life after death. These are two things. These are two things which, if a person does not have these two things, then it's possible he's capable of doing anything. If the person knows that there is no life after death, there is no accountability in front of God, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, So I can live my life the way I want. And this is what the mushrikeen would do. They would steal, they would lie, they would cheat, they would abuse each other. They would do anything. They would do anything that was immoral. All because these two important components, they were not part of their lives. There was no understanding of life after death. They would question life after death. How is it possible? Once we're dead, that's it. We have become bones, we have become dust, we have become part of the earth. So there is no life after death. And there is no hisab. There is no accountability. If there is no life after death, how can there be accountability? So these two things were void in their lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala consistently in the Quran explains, no, there is life after death. And there is accountability in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When these two things are there, then man is going to cease from committing any kind of sin. Man will cease from perpetrating sin. Man will not sin. If this is firmly embedded within man's conscience, that there is hisab, there is accountability, there is life after death, then man will not sin. Then man will not sin. There will be no sin. We think that these laws in place, they benefit. And yes, maybe they do. They do benefit. But at what cost? It is just fear. It is fear of the law. It is fear of monetary punishment. It is fear of jail that stops many people from committing a crime. It is not fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is how true justice will prevail. This is how law will become prevalent. When fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is embedded into an individual, then he will not do anything wrong. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is what he did. He worked on their hearts. He worked in establishing the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God consciousness. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there, and also life after death. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says throughout the Quran, that there is life after death. We will be held accountable for our sins and for our deeds and our misdeeds. So shaitan, he gives us false hopes. He leads us astray. And he tempts us with false hopes that we will live forever without any life after death, without any hisab, so we can do what we want. We think that our medicine is going to give us long lives. There's nothing wrong with taking medicine. There's nothing wrong with utilizing the various asbab. This is Darul Asbab. This is the world where we have to utilize each and everything. Even the Prophet ﷺ said that, yes, we have to tie the camel. We tie the camel. And then we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So medicine is not going against the trust of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But once someone has placed his hopes in that medicine, this is when it becomes a problem. Yes, take the medicine, but at the same time trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has put shifa in that medicine. And it is not the medicine that is giving a cure. It is in reality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is permitting that medicine, that is permitting that medicine to work in our bodies. So this line of thinking, this concept should be firmly ingrained, firmly embedded into our lives, that everything comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, all situations, all scenarios come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, we have tawakkul, we lock our cars, we tie our camels, we do everything that we can to protect our home. And this was something that was practiced by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. That he would make sure, you know, in battle he would wear armor. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wear armor in battle. Is this against tawakkul? Is this against trust? Of course not. Of course not. You utilize everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you, and then you trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if that was the case, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't need to wear armor. He didn't need to wear armor, but his conviction was there. The conviction of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was there. That yes, I must utilize everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me, and then I will have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So God consciousness is something that each and every individual must try to inculcate within the lifestyle. within our lifestyle, we must inculcate this God consciousness, that we were not going to live forever, and everything, whether good and bad, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is hisab, there is accountability, and there is life after death. Once these things are firmly embedded in the heart, man will not sin. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُغَيْرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Shaitan then says that I will teach them how to slit the ears of the cattle. And this is understood by that the mushrikeen, Hazrat Qatada, he said that the mushrikeen, what they would do is that they would slit the animals when they were born. They would slit the ears of the animals. And they did that as an indicator that this cattle, this animal, this cow, this goat, whatever it may be, it is for this idol. It is reserved for this idol. We will sacrifice this animal for this idol. So they would do it for their idols. They would slit the animal's ears as an indicator so that in the future it can be sacrificed for that idol. And this is what Shaitan taught. This is all from Shaitan. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُبَتِّكُنَّ أَذَانَ الْأَنْآمِ. That I will teach them how to slit the ears of the cattle. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ. And I will teach them how to do taghyir of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. How to change Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man in the best form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man with many capabilities. And some things, Shaitan, what he has done is that he has told people that, you know, we are not satisfied with our looks. So, you know, go ahead and change it. There's nothing wrong with that. Anything that has not been mentioned in hadith, right? Anything that is not mentioned in hadith, or it is not specified in the Quran, and one goes towards great lengths in changing his appearance. For example, wearing earrings for men or for women, you know, having holes pierced where they should not belong. This is taghyir khalq Allah. This is changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this would not be permissible. And this is what Shaitan does. He encourages people to change their appearance. This means when the person is not satisfied, this basically means that, well, I'm not satisfied with my appearance. Some people, they put on tattoos because they think that this will change my appearance. This will change the way people look at me. This will change their perception of me. This is taghyir bi khalqillah. This is changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not permissible. So what they would do is that they would do many things. They would castrate slaves. They would castrate animals. They would go to, you know, places where people would give tattoos. People would draw tattoos, and yes, they had tattoos in those days as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the hadith that la'anallahu al-washimat wal-mustawshimat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed those who draw tattoos and those whom tattoos are given to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed these individuals. Of course, if someone accepts Islam and he has tattoos, of course it is very difficult to get rid of. It is very difficult to get rid of. So he will be given concession that, you know, you cannot get rid of it. If it is possible, then فَبِهَا وَنِعْمَةٌ. But it is extremely painful. It is a very painful process, and it is very difficult to get rid of that tattoo. So then Sharia does give that person concession that, you know, you don't need to get rid of that tattoo. وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيْرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. So Shaitan says that I will teach them how to change the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to change the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by committing kufr, by committing sins, and to make those things which are haram, halal, and those things which are haram, halal. And this is what is happening. This is changing the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that people in this day and age, those things which are halal, people are making haram. And those things which are haram, people are making halal. They think that it is permissible. This is all the taghyir of khalq Allah. These are the parameters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. We have to make sure that whatever we are doing, it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. We want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not want to please shaytan. وَمَنْ يَتَّخِذِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيًّا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرَانًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever takes shaytan as a friend, leaving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has taken shaytan as a friend. He follows shaytan, he obeys shaytan, and he leaves the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He leaves the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He leaves the what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَقَدْ خَسِرَ خُسْرًا مُبِينًا, that indeed, this person, he has fallen in manifest loss. This person has lost everything. If he opts to follow shaitan and not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this person is a loser. He has nothing. Nothing is going to help him. Nothing will help him in the akhirah. And this is the asal life. Life after death is what we should be working for in this world. Life after death. Because that life is forever. That life, it is not finite. It is infinite. That life is forever. Ya'iduhum wa yumannihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says that shaitan, he promises them and gives them false hope. Shaitan promises that, you know what, you will be successful. Go after money. Leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter if it's haram. You know, it doesn't matter if it's haram. Go after the money and you will be successful. And he tempts them with akadhib, with false lies. Wal abatil. And one of the scholars, Ibn Kathir, he mentions that this is what shaitan does, that he tempts the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he grants them false hopes that, you know what, you will be successful in the dunya, in the world, and in the akhirah. And he tells the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do things which they would think that, you know, this is something that is a good thing. But in reality, it is a bid'ah. In reality, it is an innovation. And those who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are pious, shaitan, he tricks them into doing things which are haram and forbidden. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes that. And it is done in the name that this is sunnah, that this is something sunnah, that this is permissible. Whereas it is not. It is not sunnah. It is not part of the sunnah. But yet, this is what shaitan does. Once he is discouraged, and shaitan has many ways. Once shaitan is discouraged that, you know what, I can't tempt this person into doing something which is absolutely forbidden. So let me destroy his act of virtue. So what he would do, he would destroy it by trying to corrupt his intention. If his intention is a sincere one, then he would try to corrupt the intention. If he is safe from that, then what shaitan does, that he would tell him that, you know what, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this ibadat this way? And to do ibadat that way would be considered a bid'ah. To do an action which is not, maybe apparently it looks like it's sunnah, but it's not sunnah. It is in reality a bid'ah, something that was not practiced by the Prophet ﷺ, or in the khayrul qurun, or in the generations that came after the Prophet ﷺ. So shaitan, he says that, you know, do it this way and it would be a bid'ah. This is also forbidden. And Rasulullah ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ, has mentioned that all bid'at, they will lead one astray. And they are darkness. They will lead one astray. This is not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. وَمَا يَعِدُهُمْ شَيْطَانُ اللَّهُ غُرُورًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, you know, this shaitan, when he tempts you, when he promises you and gives you false hopes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever shaitan promises, it is deception. Whatever he is promising you, it is deception, it's batil. And it will lead you to astray. It is false and it will lead you towards destruction. And this is what deception is. That deception is ما له ظاهر محبوب وباطن مكروه. That whatever deception is, that apparently it is beloved. We do it. And we find it, we love doing it. But shaitan, وباطن مكروه. But the reality of it is that it is disliked, it is abominable. So it may seem like a good thing to accumulate wealth and forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to accumulate wealth in any way necessary. And we think that yes, we are being enriched, our lives are being enriched if we accumulate wealth. We disregard everything and everybody when it comes to accumulating wealth. And at times we may step on someone else's honor. We may do something which is haram. But this is what shaitan does. Shaitan, he leads whatever shaitan promises. This is all deception. Ulaika ma'wahum jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that all of these people that follow shaitan, that they acquiesce to the ploys and deception and the promises of shaitan, Allah says that these people, unfortunately, ma'wahum jahannam, their abode is nothing but jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. This is where their end result will be. Their end result, ma'al, their end result on the day of judgment is the fire of hell. These people who acquiesce to the promises of shaitan and who follow the deceptions of shaitan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that their abode is hellfire. وَلَا يَجِدُونَ عَنْهَا مَحِيسًا. And what kind of hellfire is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us that they will not find a place to flee. When there is trouble somewhere, we flee from that trouble. We flee from that problem. We run away from that problem when there is trouble. Where any kind of trouble, we try to avoid it. We try to stay away from it. If we know that there is a camera, there's a speed camera somewhere, we stay away from that speed camera. If we know that there are police frequenting a highway, we make sure that, you know, we avoid that highway, or at the least we, you know, drive a little bit slower. Whenever there's a problem, we try to avoid. And this is the nature of man, that we try to avoid any kind of taklif, any kind of harm, we avoid. Any kind of harm, any kind of trouble, we avoid. But Allah says, on that day, yes, you will be in trouble. And you will be harmed. You will be punished. And this is a result of what you had sown in this world. Whatever actions you committed in this world, this is in recompense. This is a recompense to the actions that you perpetrated in this world. So you will be harmed and you will be punished. And on that day, you will not find a place to flee. Your troubles, they will stay with you. You won't be able to run away on that day. On the other hand, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَنُدْخِلُهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also very fair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those who bring faith and complement that faith with good deeds, and this is a condition, that not only are good deeds enough, but faith and good deeds, they go hand in hand, they go in tandem. These two go together. It is not enough just to have faith. One has to complement that faith with good deeds. And it is not just enough to do good deeds. One has to have faith. Both of these go in hand. If one wants the guarantee of Jannah, then these are the two requisites. One, Iman. To have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger. And to complement this belief with a'mal salih. And how do we discern what are good deeds? Good deeds are discerned by virtue of the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how good deeds are discerned. So if one does this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ultimately we will admit them into gardens which beneath them have streams flowing. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They will remain in these gardens forever. This is not a finite life. This is infinite. And they will live there forever. وَمَنْ أَشْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addresses that, you know, this is what shaitan is doing. وَعْدُ اللَّهِ حَقًّا. This is the true promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever brings the faith, whoever complements that faith with a'mal salih, with good deeds, this is the true promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no shak, there is no doubt in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There shouldn't be any kind of khaljan. Right? There shouldn't be any kind of khaljan that, you know, this is not true. Because then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ. That who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said something, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Shaitan, he will lie to you. He will tempt you. And he will make you look at things from a temporary view. That everything that we have in this world, well, we should live it to the fullest. We should enjoy while we can. Because after that, everything is gone. Once you die, that's it. So shaitan, he tempts you with these thoughts. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brings our attention and he gives us focus that there is life after death. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيُكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِي أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In these following verses, the subject matter changes. The cause of revelation was that Hazrat Qatada, he mentions that the mu'mineen, the believers and the people of the book, they started to have a competition. They were having a competition that, you know, the Ahl Kitab, they would say that Nabiyuna qabla Nabiyukum, that our prophet came before your prophet. You consider the Prophet of Allah a prophet, but Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, they came before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And our books, they came before your books. So you know what? We have more right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you do. We have more right. نَحْنُ أَحَقْ بِاللَّهِ مِنْكُمْ. That we have more right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you. The mu'mineen, in response, they would say that, you know, our prophet is the seal of all messengers. He's the final prophet. And our book, what it does, that it establishes the veracity of all previous books. All the previous books, it establishes the veracity of those books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, you know what, this argument, this is an irrelevant argument. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ. That your wishes are not predicated on, I mean, the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not predicated on your wishes, nor the wishes of the people of the book. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what was the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was that if one brings the faith and he complements that with a'mal salih, with good deeds, then that person will be admitted into paradise. This is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not predicated on your wishes, nor the wishes of the Ahl Kitab. When they say that, oh, we have more right to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than you do. So it's not predicated on this, that, oh, our Nabi, our Prophet came before your Prophet, and our books came before your books, nor the wishes of the mu'minun, the believers, that, oh, our Nabi is the final messenger, that's it. And that's unfortunately what we are doing now. That, oh, Hamara Quran, you know, Quran hai. Or Hamara Nabi, you know, Akhiri Nabi hai. This is not enough. This is not enough. We have to bring faith. We have to have this in our hearts. This is a belief that we should firmly imbibe into our hearts. If we think that, you know, we will enter Jannah by just saying this, no, we are deluded. First, we will have to answer for whatever we did. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the criterion for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not what you guys say. It is not your wishes. The wa'da, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not predicated on your wishes, nor the wishes of the Ahlul Kitab. So, O Muslimun, this iman and amal salih, you have to acquire it. You have to work for it. You have to establish, you have to bring iman into your hearts, and you have to complement that iman with amal salih, with good deeds. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wa'ad, this is when His promise will extend to you. مَنْ يُعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَبِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, مَنْ يُعْمَلْ سُوءًا وَمَنْ يُعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَبِهِ. That whoever does something wrong, يُجْزَبِهِ, he will be given recompense for that. Whoever does something wrong, he will be compensated for that. And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when this ayah was recited, he was very melancholic. And he was worried. Many Sahaba, they were worried. That may yu'mal su'an yudzabihi. That whoever does something wrong, then he will be recompensed for that. So Hazrat Abu Bakr, when the Prophet saw the state of Hazrat Abu Bakr and the Sahaba, you know, they said that, Ya Rasulullah, we do so many things which are wrong throughout the day. So how is it even possible that we will achieve success. The Prophet ﷺ said that, do you not get pricked by thorns? Are you not confronted with problems? And are you not confronted with pains? This is all kafara. This all serves as an expiation. This all serves as an expiation to whatever wrong that you did. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will rid you of your sins. He will purify you from your sins. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it. He gives us problems. He gives us things to stress over. At times we get hurt. At times we get sick. This is all an expiation. This is all kafara from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this way, this is how people will be admitted to paradise. So it is not predicated. We should not have this hope that yes, just because we are Muslim, oh yes, it's enough. Namaz is maaf, zakat is maaf, hajj is maaf. I don't have to treat my neighbor well. I don't have to treat my Muslim brother well. I don't have to do anything. Because, well, I'm Muslim. I'm Muslim and I'm going to go to Jannah. That person is extremely deluded. That person is deluded if he thinks that he will go to Jannah just like that, just by having this belief. Just by having this belief, this is not enough. Right? Just thinking that, yes, our Quran is our Quran. And our Prophet is the final Prophet. This is not enough. And just having faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is not enough. We have to complement it with a'mal as-salih. We have to try to make sure that good deeds are being done. We have to live our lives in accordance to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, the Quran and the Sunnah. These are our guides. These should be our models. And we should follow them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana.